From New York City, we bring you a new Dr. Christian story called Love on a Diet, presented for your enjoyment by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. Did you ever stop to think what makes kid gloves so soft and pliable? Well, it's just that they've been treated with special oils that keep them soft long after the natural oils have vanished. And it's exactly the same way with your skin. If your skin gets too dry, it becomes rough or cracked or chapped. The first sign of roughness is a sign that you need Vaseline Jelly. For this safe, pure preparation does three important jobs. First, it lubricates and softens the skin by supplementing the natural oils. Second, it acts as a protective film when the skin is broken, helps keep infection and dirt from entering the break. And third, it promotes healing. It's these three things that make Vaseline Jelly invaluable for the treatment of countless everyday burns and scalds, minor cuts, scratches, and skin irritations. If you haven't a jar or tube of Vaseline Jelly in your medicine cabinet, be sure to get some right away. A generous supply costs only 10 cents anywhere. Tonight's Dr. Christian play, starring Gene Hersholt as the Doctor of River's End, is called Love on a Diet. The cast includes Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price, the doctor's secretary, Gloria Holden as Dorothy Corbett, and Charles Webster as Dave Corbett, who are an old-fashioned married couple, Helen Clare as Margot, their very new-fashioned daughter, and James Meehan as Arnold Darrow. Now, as the curtain rises, we see the Corbett's charming firelit living room where young Margot is talking excitedly to Dr. Christian.
Dr. Christian, Mother never acted this way before in all her life.
Suppose you tell me just what she did act, how she did act, what she did say. How did it start, Margot? What happened before you called Judy?
Well, Mother was cleaning out the trunks in the attic. And when I came home, I went up to see if I could help her. And she said there wasn't anything I could do. But then she started to show me some old photographs taken when she was a girl. The year before she and Dad were married. You were in some of them, Dr. Christian.
I expect I was. I remember your mother very well. She was one of the prettiest girls in Riversand.
Dr. Christian, that's it. That's what I said. That's what started the whole thing.
What do you mean?
Well, when she showed me the pictures, I could hardly believe my eyes. Imagine Mother all dressed up in a flower dress with ruffles and her hair in ringlets. She looked like a doll, just as pretty. I guess it wasn't very tactful to say, but it just burst right out.
What did?
What I said.
What did you say, Margot?
I said, why, Mother, you used to be pretty.
What did she say then?
Well, she was looking at a picture of herself sitting on a bench out in Grandmother's side yard, and Dad was sitting beside her, and he was twisting her curls around his finger, and all of a sudden she began to cry. And not loud, but with tears just pouring down her cheeks.
Yes?
Well, it surprised me so. I didn't know what to do, and I kept saying, Mother, what is it? Mother, what are you crying about? But she wouldn't answer me, and after a while she began to shake and sob. Oh, great, terrible sobs that just tore her to pieces.
I see.
Dr. Christian, do people just have hysterics without any reason?
There was a reason, Margot.
But what was it? Why should she start crying like that over nothing?
Doesn't your mother cry very often?
Oh, mercy, no, she never cries. Dad says there's nothing on earth worse than a weepy woman. Mom doesn't even cry at weddings.
Then she's always happy?
Well, I don't believe she's unhappy, Dr. Christian. I don't actually know. Well, Mother isn't emotional, you know.
Does she go out a lot? Reach parties? That sort of thing?
Dr. Christian, you know she doesn't. My mother hasn't been anywhere, even to a movie, in months. When Dad gets home, he says he's tired and he wants to stay home, so Mother stays, too.
But in the daytime, doesn't she go out then?
No, she doesn't. When I was a little girl, Mom was invited out a lot, but she'd never go, and now nobody asks her anymore.
Your mother's become almost a recluse, hasn't she, Margot?
I suppose in a way she has. She never wants anything, or goes anywhere, or... Dr. Christian, do you suppose Mother really hasn't wanted to stay at home the way she has? That she's wanted to have pretty clothes and go places and do things?
Why shouldn't she? She's a normal human being, isn't she?
You know, I have the strangest sense that I haven't really looked at Mother for years until today. It gave me the funniest feeling when I saw that picture and realized that, well, not so terribly many years ago, she wasn't any older than I am now, and that she was pretty, that Dad made love to her.
He certainly did. And so did half of the other boys in town.
Made love to her?
Yes, and wanted to marry her. Your mother was one of the most attractive, most popular girls ever in River's End.
Well.
I thought your mother was pretty lovely myself once upon a time.
You mean you were in love with her?
Oh, we were all in love with her. But it was your father she loved and married. She never knew there was anyone else on earth. She grew up like a sort of a lovely flower, Margot. Sheltered, protected, adored by everyone. And then your father came along, and he was big and handsome and dominating. Well, he simply took over her life.
It's hard to realize. For so long, Mother's been so... Oh, just...
Just a quiet, devoted housewife and mother who couldn't call her soul her own. That's what you mean, isn't it?
Yes. Dr. Christian, is that what's made her sick? What she cried about? Did it give her hysterics just because I said she used to be pretty?
That was probably the match that set off the powder. I think your mother has lived contrary to her nature for years, and I think the strain has become too much for her. It's a form of emotional starvation.
Emotional starvation?
Yes.
You mean she's starved for love? Oh, but she has her home and Dad and me. Well, Dad's really devoted to her. He won't let her out of his sight.
She sees you growing up, going away from her, having a life of your own. She hasn't anything else to live for. Dave has always treated her like a sort of possession, and she knows it. And then suddenly she's reminded of what she was at your age. Young, vivid, lovely.
You make it sound awful.
It is awful. One of the most awful things I've ever encountered. When I looked at her today in that plain house dress, with her hair pulled back in that tight little knot, all the charm and beauty and loveliness gone. Remembered what she used to be. Well, I'm speaking very frankly to you, Margot. Because I'm sure you're the only person in the world who can help her.
Dr. Christian, what can I do?
Do you understand? Do you want to help her?
Oh, yes. Please, tell me what I can do.
It may mean giving up some of your own good times for a while.
Oh, I don't mind that. I don't mind anything if I can only make her well again. Make her want to live.
Then we'll work out a plan. Well, there's no telling how well it would succeed, but it's worth trying.
Something I can do?
You alone at first. Later on, she'll need people about her. How about all these young people that you go about with, Margot? Can we get them to help?
I think so. Arnold Darrow would, for one.
Arnold Darrow?
Hmm?
Oh, he's quite a bit older than you are, isn't he, Margot?
Oh, yes, but we belong to the same camera club. He doesn't like Dad, so I don't invite him to the house. Oh, but he's wonderful to me. So much more interesting than the younger boys.
Maybe he's just what we need.
What do you mean?
I'm not sure yet. Will you come down to my office in the morning, Margot, and we'll talk? And don't let anyone disturb your mother again tonight.
But, Dr. Christian, Dad will be home any minute. He's going to Chicago on the midnight to be gone for some time, and oh, he'll never go without seeing Mother.
I'll tell him those are my orders.
Then you don't want him to go?
Don't want him to go? Well, Margot, it's a godsend. If anything in the world would give your mother a chance to get well, it'll be having your father spend a few weeks in Chicago. You've got to make him go.
Your nails are perfect. I bet you couldn't get a better manicure than that in Chicago. Only I wish you'd let me use the new Scarlett O'Hara nail polish for you instead of just that shell pink.
Oh, but this is bright enough for me, thank you, darling. Oh, they do look lovely. Really, Margot, I don't know what'll happen to me if this goes on much longer. Whole week in bed just being waited on like a baby.
You've babied me all my life. It's your turn now. Don't you like having your meals on a tray?
Yes, I love it.
And having your back rubbed and your face massaged and having me give you trick shampoo?
No, Margot. You know, your father has never liked me to use makeup of any kind. Now, darling, this is all right until he comes home if it amuses you. But as soon as he gets back...
Well, we'll worry about that when the time comes. Hold still now while I put some powder on your nose.
Oh, Margot, I...
If you don't hold still, I'll put rouge on it instead. There. Now, where's that new lipstick?
Margot Corbett,
put your lips together.
Oh.
I can't do a thing while you're talking.
Well...
Mom, please hold still. There. Now, press your lips together. Mm-hmm.
Oh, lovely. Honest, Mom, you're a picture. Oh, Margot, I believe you're out of your mind. You know I
but
don't
I
wear...
But I do, Mom. That's just the point. Now, listen. I've got an idea.
No, I'm afraid to hear
it. You needn't be. It's harmless. Arnold Darrow's coming over this afternoon.
Oh, sweetheart, for goodness sake, go and get dressed then. Don't be wasting all this time on me.
Be quiet. I'm giving the orders here. Didn't Dr. Christian tell you that if you didn't obey me implicitly, he'd withdraw from the case?
Well, there's no case to withdraw from. I'm all right. I'm perfectly well. Just because I had a little fit of nerves.
Careful. We don't mention that either. Now, just a minute. I've got a surprise for you. Here. Take a look at this and see if you like it.
What is it? Oh, Margot, how beautiful. Turquoise with little pink flowers. What is it? A dressing gown? I used to have one almost like that when I was a girl. You'll be lovely in it, dear. Put it on.
Oh, it isn't for me, silly. It's for you.
For me? For me? Oh, no, darling. I never wear things like that.
Then it's time you started. Here, now, put it on.
No, no,
child. Come on, darling, here.
Well.
Oh, there. Oh, it's gorgeous. Simply gorgeous. I knew I was right.
Oh, Margot, please, dear. I couldn't
listen,
wear...
Listen, Mom, do you know what we're going to do? You're going to sit in that chair while I spread up the bed. And then you're going into the study. And when Arnold comes, I'm going to bring him up. And we're going to have tea up here. What do you say to that?
Oh, huh? No, Margot. I...
Oh, listen. Isn't that his car now? Uh-huh.
Yoo-hoo, Arnold! The front door is open. Mom and I are up in the study. Come on up.
There. He'll be up in a jiffy.
Margot.
Now, Mom, here we go. You're not very shaky for spending most of your time for a week in bed.
Being babied.
There. Oh, listen, Mom. Before you sit down, take a look in that full-length mirror, will you?
Oh,
you wouldn't know yourself, would you? I flatter myself I did a very good job on those curls. Hi, gorgeous.
Oh.
Yes, sir. That's my mommy.
Oh, Margot, I feel so silly.
Oh, hello. Come on up.
Dr. Christian's down here. Should we both come?
Of course. Now, Dolly, sit in this chair.
Oh,
we're in here.
Better than I do, don't you?
I'm just getting our patient up for a little while, Dr. Christian.
Oh, good. That's what I hope to hear.
Come on in, both of you. Arnold, you've met my mother before.
Why, yes, I...
You remember Arnold, don't you, Mother?
Yes, I'm glad to see you again, Mr. Darrow.
Well, Arnold, for goodness sake. You act as though you'd never seen Mother before. Don't you remember her?
Yes. Yes, I've met her before. I remember that. I just didn't remember that she was so beautiful. Well, I scarcely knew her.
I'm afraid I scarcely know myself.
You knew her, didn't you, Dr. Christian?
Yes, I recognized her instantly. She's a girl I used to know 20 years ago.
And the curtain descends on our Dr. Christian drama for a few moments' intermission, during which a member of the younger generation has a few words to say about one of the products that make this program possible.
I go out for athletics a lot at my high school, football, basketball, and tennis. I noticed during my sophomore year that my scalp was dry. My hair was sort of brittle and wouldn't stay combed. I had a bad case of dandruff, too. I finally asked the coach about it, and he said I had dry scalp, a result of soaking my hair every day in a shower. It seems the natural oils of the scalp get washed away. Anyway, the coach suggested that I use Vaseline Hair Tonic to supplement these natural oils. I started then, 2 years ago, and I haven't been bothered by dandruff scales since. My hair looks fine. It always stays in place, too.
Yes, sir, you do have a fine, healthy-looking head of hair. And so can anyone who still has hair if you use Vaseline Hair Tonic regularly every morning. Just shake on a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic when you comb your hair. Remember, Vaseline Hair Tonic is different.
It contains no drying ingredients. It costs only 40 cents for a generous shaker top bottle, 70 cents for the large economy size. Get Vaseline Hair Tonic at your druggist's tomorrow. Well, all set for Act Two of Love on a Diet? The curtain is going up. The time is a week later, and the scene is Dr. Christian's private office, where the doctor is checking over his cases.
Dr. Christian.
Mm-hmm. What's the matter, Judy?
Dave Corbett's out there.
Dave Corbett?
Hmm.
Well, he's supposed to be out of town. He's not due back until Saturday.
I know. Well, he's out there.
Anything wrong?
I'm afraid so. He looks grim. Says he wants to talk to you.
Hmm. Well, I've got plenty to say to him, though I didn't expect to say it so soon. Tell him to come in.
I'll keep my fingers crossed for you.
Do. I'll need it.
Come in, Mr. Corbett.
Evening, Dave. Sit down.
I don't want to sit down.
No? Got back a little ahead of time, didn't you?
You arranged my schedule. You should know when I was expected. Paul Christian, for 2 cents, I'd have you run out of town. Of all the plotting scoundrels...
Oh, take it easy, Dave. Take it easy. Don't start any mudslinging contest until I know what it's all about.
Don't do any good to pretend innocence. Paul Christian, about 2 weeks ago, my wife had what you called a nervous collapse. I had to go to Chicago on business that very night. You persuaded me that what she needed was rest. The best thing I could do for her would be to take the trip and let Margot take care of her.
Yes, that's true.
I believed you and I went. It was a time when I wouldn't have turned my back on Dorothy for a single minute. You remember what she was when I married her? A frivolous little flirt with all the men of the county hanging around her? I thought that was over with, that she had settled down.
I can't imagine anyone more settled than Dorothy's been for the past 15 years.
Hypocrisy, that's what it's been. Hypocrisy, sham, every bit of it. She hasn't changed a particle. Tricking me, deceiving me.
Dave, are you feeling all right? You sound delirious to me.
Delirious? It's no wonder I'm delirious. Paul Christian, what do you think I found when I came back unexpectedly tonight after 10 days away?
I couldn't guess.
I found my wife in negligee. A new negligee I'd never seen. Rouge in her face, her hair curled, her fingernails painted, and entertaining a man. A man I barely know, laughing and talking with him like a schoolgirl.
Oh, now, Dave, there's nothing criminal in Dorothy's talking to a man.
Nothing criminal in deceiving me. In painting herself up and wearing a lot of folderols when she knows how I feel about such things. In having affairs with...
Dave, for heaven's sake, think what you're saying. Dorothy hasn't done anything. She's been ill. Really ill.
Yes, she looks like it. Paul, when she looked up and saw me, she went white. If ever there was guilt on a woman's face...
Oh, she's frightened to death of you.
Of course she was frightened to death. A woman who deceives her husband usually is. What I want to know, Paul Christian, is what is your part in this? Why are you defending her and protecting her? By heaven, I remember now. You used to be in love with her yourself.
Dave.
Now I get it. You thought you wouldn't be suspected just because you're a doctor. You were going to hide behind your profession. You thought I wouldn't even guess. You've been at my house every day since I've been gone. I learned that.
Oh, of course I've been there. Dave, for heaven's sake.
You admit it, do you? Well, you might as well. It won't save you to deny it.
What are you going to do?
Do? What can a man do when his wife is untrue to him the moment his back is turned?
Have you lost your mind? Dave, where are you going?
I am going to consult my attorney. I'm going to get a divorce, Paul Christian, and I'm going to name you as co-respondent.
How is she now?
Better. Judy will stay here for a little while, Margot, so you can get some rest.
Oh, Judy's sweet. Dr. Christian, what are we going to do?
I don't know.
Mother will never get over this.
I'm afraid not.
Till my dying day, I'll never forget her face when Dad burst in that room. Oh, it was awful.
What did he do?
Well, Mother and Arnold were just sitting there talking. I'd gone out to fix Mother an eggnog, and Arnold brought Mother a box of flowers, and she was looking at them when the door flew open, and there was Dad.
Mm.
They were both so surprised, nobody said anything for a moment. And then Mother said, sort of faintly, "Dave." And there was a long pause, and Dad said, "I shan't ask for an explanation, Dorothy. The situation speaks for itself." And then he went out and shut the door.
Nice chap.
And Mother just sat and got whiter and whiter. And then you phoned and said Dad had been to see you. And then she went to pieces.
Poor Dolly.
Dr. Christian, the worst of it is that I think Dad really loves her desperately. In his own way. Or if there was only some way we could make him see before it's too late. Because... In spite of everything, I think she loves him.
I believe she does, Margot.
It's hard to understand why. He's so domineering and dictatorial, but... Well, I guess love's a funny thing, Dr. Christian.
Yes, I believe there's some theory to that effect. Your mother must have a chance at happiness again, Margot. She ever is to be well.
But how are we going to give it to her, Dr. Christian? How can we?
We'll have to try to figure out a way, Margot.
And we will. I know it.
Mrs. Corbett's asleep now, Dr. Christian.
Oh, then Judy and I'll go along, Margot. If you want me in the night, just call. Otherwise, I'll see your mother the first thing in the morning.
All right, Dr. Christian. And thank you both.
What's that?
The front door.
But who...
It must be Dad.
Dorothy, Oh, you're here, Paul.
Yes, Dave, I'm here.
I came to get my things. Where's your mother, Margot?
Oh, she's in her room. But don't go up, Dad. She's asleep.
Asleep? At this hour?
Yes, I just left her, and don't waken her, please.
You just left her?
Your wife is a very sick woman, Dave.
Sick? Sick? That's just the story you told me to get me out of town. Laura's never been sick in her life.
Well, she's sick now.
Didn't look very sick this afternoon, dressed up like a chorus girl, making eyes at Arnold Darrow.
Dad!
Now, don't try to defend her. I saw her, didn't I? All fixed up, curls and lipstick.
She was all fixed up, as you put it, because I ordered it, Dave.
You ordered it?
Dave, in heaven's name, listen to reason. It's part of a cure. I prescribed it, and Margot carried out the prescription. Makeup, manicure, curls, pretty clothes, masculine attention.
Masculine attention?
Yes, masculine attention. Honest and sincere admiration, the kind that she's been entitled to all her life and never had since the day she married you.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about your wife and the fact that she's literally dying from neglect.
Neglect?
Yes. She's lived for years without the things that are the right of every attractive woman. Little feminine vanities, gaiety, flattery, affection.
Christian, you're crazy. What do you mean coming in here with a story like that? Dying? My wife's as healthy as you are.
Listen, Dave. When you married Dorothy, she was a young, happy, attractive girl, full of the joy of living. For almost 19 years, you kept her like a prisoner. Practically stifled her life out because of your own insane jealousy.
Jealous? I'm not jealous.
You were so jealous you couldn't bear to have her attractive to anyone else in the world. You made her think you disapproved of her curled hair, and her pretty clothes, and her gaiety, so that she'd stay at home and you'd feel safe and sure that you'd never lose her.
No, Paul, I...
Oh,
I didn't mean that.
No, I don't suppose you ever admitted it, even to yourself. You just expressed your disapproval, and then when Dorothy didn't dare call her soul her own, you took it for granted that she had turned into a meek, colorless little mouse because she didn't like... She liked to be that way. Probably never occurred to you that you were ruining her life.
She never complained.
Oh, of course she didn't complain. If it hadn't happened, she'd have gone out until now, until late, and too late for her ever to have any joy or beauty in her life again.
Paul, I don't believe that...
It's the truth. If your wife dies, and she'll die if you don't give her some reason for wanting to live, you and you alone will be to blame.
What about Arnold Darrow?
No, forget it.
What about what I saw? I can't forget it. She was here, alone with him.
Dad, Arnold Darrow came here to see me.
You?
I'm engaged to marry him.
You? Arnold Darrow is in love with you?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know what to say.
Oh, Margot, please, dear, I can't stay up there all alone. Dave.
Dorothy, I...
Oh, Dave, I'm so sorry. I knew it would make you furious if Margot curled my hair and made me wear lipstick. And I never meant to wear it when you were at home. Dave, please, I've tried to do the things you wanted me to do, but... Well, you know what a silly person I always was at heart. Dave.
Dolly!
She's fainted.
Dolly!
Put her on the sofa, Dave.
No, I... I'll hold her. She's not dead, is she?
No, she's just weak and faint.
I want to take care of her. I'll carry her upstairs. I'll call you in a little while. Just now, I want to be alone with my wife. Alone. I'm sorry, Paul.
Oh, Dr. Christian, do you suppose...
Don't suppose, Margot, just hope.
Did you hear that? He called her Dolly. He hasn't done that since I was a tiny little girl. Oh, could he change Dr. Christian?
I don't know. It's not simple to alter the habits of a lifetime, but...
I'm going up just for a moment. I've got to be sure Mother's all right. How's it going to come out?
How can I tell? The doctor can only diagnose and treat. The rest is in the hands of Providence, Judy.
I know. Doctors have to give some awfully strange treatments, don't they?
Yes, but it's hard to give a pill for a sick mind.
Dr. Christian, I think it's going to be all right.
Why, Margot.
I didn't go in, but the door was ajar, and I couldn't help seeing. Dad was sitting on the bed, and he was curling Mother's hair around his finger, just the way he did it in the picture. And you should have seen Mother's face. All that starved look gone.
Their love wasn't really starved, Margot. It was just on a diet.
In a moment, we'll have Gene Hirschhold, our star, out here to tell you about next week's play. In the meantime, I want to give you this message. At this holiday time, with all the traditional celebrations, the parties and dances, a head cold is especially annoying. So remember, keep the nasal passages well lubricated with Vess Vaseline Jelly. A little applied up each nostril relieves that stuffy, stopped-up feeling. Because it is so good for the skin, Vaseline Jelly is used as the base for a number of specialty products, including Vaseline Borated Jelly, Vaseline Carbolated Jelly, Vaseline Lip Ice, and Vaseline Camphor Ice. Ask your druggist about their special uses. And don't forget to look for the trademark Vaseline on every jar or tube. It's your guarantee of absolute purity. And now our beloved Dr. Christian, played by Gene Hirschhold. Tell us something about next week's story, Dr. Christian.
Well, next week our Dr. Christian program will come to you at a new hour. Many of you have written me to ask to have our program earlier in the evening so the children can listen too. So, beginning next Wednesday, we are going to do that. So those who live in the eastern time zone will hear it at 8:30 p.m. Those in the central zone at 7:30 p.m., in the mountain states at 6:30 p.m., and on the Pacific coast at 8:30 p.m. Now, our play is another story about our beautiful blind pig, Foster, who has the seeing eye dog. I'm sure you and your whole family will enjoy it. So until next Wednesday evening, I'll say good night and a happy, happy day.
Remember, next week, Dr. Christian comes to you at a new hour. Those who live in the eastern time zone will hear it at 8:30 p.m., those in the central zone at 7:30, in the mountain states at 6:30, and on the Pacific coast at 8:30. Your announcer, Andre Baruch.
Next week at 10 p.m. New York time, Chesterfield Cigarettes invite you to listen to Glenn Miller and the Andrews Sisters. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.